Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada, indeed around the world. As always, the number to dial to get your questions answered live is just mentioned by Randy. 888-ASK, Hank, numerically, 888-275-4265. You can start calling that number right now. We'll go to your questions in just a few moments. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Do remember that we're coming towards the end of our fiscal year. This is arguably the most important financial year of the month for the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Again, you can also talk to our resource consultants. They are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up today, Dorothy. She's listening in Huntsville, Texas on NRB television. Hi, Dorothy.
Hello, Hank. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you. I was wanting to know, with all the gun shootings and things going on in some of the churches and stuff, some churches have considered about having someone in their churches with weapons for protection. And I know with most of the laws of concealed weapons on private property, they say they're not allowed. It's not allowed in hospitals and nursing homes and amusement parks and churches, synagogues, or any other establishment of religious worship. And I kind of feel that way myself, but I'm just wanting to get a little input on from you and your knowledge.
Well, I don't profess to be an expert in this area, although what we did in the Christian Research Journal recently is an article on the gun control debate. And the article is couched as a debate, so you have two Christian perspectives. One Christian perspective against gun control, the other for gun control. But guns no more cause crimes than pencils cause spelling errors. I think we have to remember that ultimately evil dwells in the human heart. Cain slew Abel without an AK-15. So to eradicate evil, to eradicate suffering, is not done through gun control. And we have found practical examples of that in places like Great Britain. Even with their particular controls, their crime rate, their death by gun is twice as high as that in the U.S. So I think that a lot of people make quick decisions based on incomplete information. But again, I say that this is a debate in that Christians can have different perspectives on this. And so I think let the debate begin. Iron sharpens iron. Yeah, and so let's debate this, and to give you the principles for doing that, again, the article in the Christian Research Journal, which is now available on the web at equip.org. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Bobby, who's listening in Memphis, Tennessee on WCRV. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, Hank, enjoy your program. Question, can the transgendered man or woman receive salvation? Can they be saved?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the issue becomes, do you want to be a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ? If you want to be a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, then what you do is you learn the precepts and the principles of that kingdom. And in learning the precepts and principles of the kingdom, you begin conforming your life to those principles and precepts. And then you become a changed person. So the changes ultimately are changes that take on life from within. So when people are caught like deer in the headlights on national television shows asking about whether a Christian thinks that a homosexual can go to heaven, they're basically being asked to answer the wrong question. The question is not whether a homosexual or a transsexual or a bisexual can go to heaven. The question is, do they want to be participants in the kingdom? If they do, then they'll recognize that the King who created them, who knit them together in their mother's womb, knows what is best for them, and they'll begin conforming their lives to the principles of the kingdom.
Okay, okay. So and your final answer is yes.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, Christ came to save sinners, of which Paul said, I am the chief of. So if Paul can say Christ came to save a sinner like him, certainly we can say vicariously that Christ came to save sinners like us.
My next question, Hank, is after that person has received Christ, what would they have to do as far as, let's say, and, you know, I don't want to just pick on Bruce Jenner, but let's say Bruce Jenner changed himself to appear as a woman. Could he continue operating as a woman after he's saved?
Well, again, I think that the question becomes, do you want to follow the principles of the kingdom? If you do, then you find out that the principles of the kingdom say that ultimately your gender is not based on your feeling, but rather your gender is based on your biology. And so what you do is you conform yourself to how God created you rather than trying to recreate yourself based on your own feelings.
Right. So in essence, after seeing the wrong in his life, the things that he's done wrong, and I'm thinking he would need to go back and correct that procedure.
Well, and that's true of all of us, right? In different ways. I mean, this is a very visible thing, but we all are desperately wicked, and all of us need to, in coming to Christ, say, Lord, I'm coming to you as I am. I'm asking you to transform me by both your truth and your life. So what happens is Christ comes to live in us, not just as a set of logical truth propositions, but rather he comes to dwell in us as a source of organic life from within. And that is transformational in every way. And then we begin to transform ourselves according to, again, his precepts and principles.
Right. Thank you so much, Dr. Hank, and have a good one.
You too. And of course, we have a couple of resources available on this subject. One is titled Responding to Christ, Like Christ to Transsexuals. The other, Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage. Both resources available on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. By the way, on this subject, we cannot be Pollyannish. We got to tell people the truth, because if you really love them, the truth will save them from making decisions that are, quite frankly, deadly in many ways. It's not now today just about transsexuals who are wealthy and famous like Bruce Jenner, but it's about transsexuals who are fairly young, who are having feminization surgery, and in many cases, once they come to a true valuation of things, are horrified by what they've done to themselves. And there are also cases in which people do not have the resources to maintain the kinds of surgeries that are required to be transsexual. And as a result of that, they end up committing suicide or other ghastly consequences. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jerome listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, on Bot Radio. Hi.
How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Okay. My question is, what is your view on the use of privates in this day and age?
Well, it just depends on what you mean by prophet. I mean, certainly in Scripture you have apostles and prophets. They are uniquely gifted by God. So the prophets in the Old Testament were able to, by the grace of God, do extraordinary things. They're able to, like Daniel, predict a succession of nations from the Babylonian kingdom to the babe of Christ. You look at apostles in the New Testament, they too are extraordinarily gifted, and through their gifting, through their miraculous acts, they are able to do things that testify that they are spokespersons for God. And what we have in Scripture is the clear statement that God uses the prophets and the apostles to tell us things before they happen, so when they happen, we might in fact believe. Now, if you think about this, we now have an objective frame of reference by which to test all things. So if you're talking about a prophet like Moses or Jeremiah or an apostle like Paul or Peter, there is no duplication. They were ratified as those who witnessed the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So they're not duplicated. But there is a sense in which prophecy is relevant for us today. It's a 1 Corinthians 14 sense, where God gives prophets and apostles so that the church might be strengthened, edified, equipped, encouraged, and exhorted. So what happens then is they don't foretell the future, but rather foretell, which is they exhort us so that we're strengthened in the faith once for all delivered to the saints.
Amen. Yeah, I agree. I
appreciate your call.
Okay.
God bless you. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Brian next. He's listening in Utah. Sirius XM 131. Whoops, Brian just disappeared. Carol, Washington, D.C. Hi.
Yes, I have a question about, I come forward to become a member of a church, and I was saved and baptized in another church, but whenever I come forward, they wanted me to be rebaptized to become a member of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just wondering, is that not biblically based, that it's just a preference of theirs, or?
Well, let's go back and talk about what baptism is. Baptism is not the means by which you are saved, but rather baptism is the means by which you are set apart. So through baptism, you are set apart, you are buried to your old life, you're raised to newness of life through his resurrection power, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6. And as those who are set apart, you are now testifying to the world that you've taken up your cross and you're going to daily follow Jesus Christ. So if you are joining a church that you feel very led to be a part of, the Lord has led you there, and they want you to be baptized, it wouldn't be a problem for me, although I don't think it's necessary. And many churches with an alternate ecclesiology would be perfectly willing to accept the baptism that you have already had as you became a believer. So, yeah, I think it's really important that you feel convinced that this is the place that God wants you to be. And if you're being baptized again, use it as another blessing to be able to say to the world, you know what? I'm no longer my own. I've been bought with a price.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your words.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And to remember the importance of baptism. When you're baptized, grace is imparted to your soul so that you can live a victorious Christian life. And as you take part in a communion, a fellowship of saints, you also partake of communion or the Eucharist or the Lord's table. And when you do, grace is imparted to your soul so that you can live the Christian life. Paul talks about communion in a very significant way, saying that if you partake of it in an unworthy manner, some of you are sick, he says, and some of you have died. So thinking about the consequences of the real mystery of the Eucharist is something that all of us should be focused on. And on a regular basis, be right back with answers in just a few moments.
In recent years, interest in superheroes has soared, driven largely by the red-hot Marvel Comics characters such as Spider-Man, Iron Man, the X-Men, and the Avengers. This cultural phenomenon suggests that Marvel's unique approach to envisioning heroism is feeding some sort of spiritual hunger. The current edition of the Christian Research Journal asks the question, what lessons can we learn from Marvel? Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back in a moment. Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? Can I attend a same-sex wedding? Can my business provide services for a same-sex union ceremony? What if a person in a gay marriage becomes a Christian? If you haven't encountered these questions yet, stay tuned. Given the current reality shift, you're likely to. Get well-reasoned answers to these and other questions in CRI's Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package, which includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In recent years, interest in superheroes has soared, driven largely by the red-hot Marvel Comics characters such as Spider-Man, Iron Man, the X-Men, and the Avengers. This cultural phenomenon suggests that Marvel's unique approach to envisioning heroism is feeding some sort of spiritual hunger. What lessons can we learn from Marvel? Other topics include when someone you love says, "I'm gay," best friends first, honoring God in dating and romance, the debate over defining inerrancy, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Driven by the anti-Christian agenda, many atheists seem unconcerned with accuracy and fairness. In the anti-theist anthology, Christianity is Not Great, one contributing author scours history for events such as the Crusades and Inquisitions and draws unwarranted conclusions from them. The current edition of the Christian Research Journal shows how anti-theists failed to consider both Christianity's positive achievements and the horrors perpetuated by atheist regimes. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And do remember, all this week we'll be taking your questions live. The number is always to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And as I talk about resources, you can find them on the web at equip.org. Next up is Cherie. She's listening in South Dakota, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Cherie.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I wanted to ask you, my question is, what is the best way to interpret the Old Testament and apply it to our life today when we approach it from the perspective of taking it in context? For example, you take Jeremiah 29:11, many people quote that and misapply it, meaning God's plans are not for me to go through anything difficult. Well, we know that's not necessarily what the text was saying, and it wasn't written to us. It was written to, I could be wrong here, I don't know if it's the Northern Kingdom of Israel, but so as I'm going back and trying to read the Old Testament in context, my desire to read it appropriately and apply it appropriately, I find myself almost going maybe out of balance the other way, where I'm afraid to say, yeah, that's for all of us today too. You know, this is the heart of God. And so my question is just, how do we keep it in balance where we don't, you know what I mean, say everything apply, well, that was only for David, or this was only for, what's the best way to apply that?
I think you alluded to it a bit in the prologue to your question. It is true that none of the Bible was written to us, but all of the Bible was written for us, and therefore the principles in Scripture apply to us. Now, if you look at this as a grand meta-narrative, what you see, in essence, in the Old Testament, God calling Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and then you have an unfolding plan of redemption, which culminates in Christ. And ultimately, the bridegroom carrying true Israel over the threshold of Jordan into a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So the point here is that it's an unfolding story. And quite frankly, the covenants are really not all that different. One is a type and shadow, in that sense, shrouded in mystery. The other is a revelation in Jesus Christ. So all of it is a congruent story, as I said, a grand meta-narrative of God's redemptive plan for humanity, from paradise when it's lost to paradise when it's restored. Now, restoration doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you don't know about the loss. And so you have to have the big picture. That's why I say, to interpret the Bible, you not only have to understand the Bible as a whole, but to understand the Bible as a whole, you have to understand its individual parts. And of course, that's why the testaments must be understood, so that you have the congruent message of salvation.
Okay, that helps. So is it? It sounds like a silly question, but I'm being really honest here. So is it, when we see, like in Jeremiah 29:12, where the Lord says, you seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart. You know, that's something I look at and I say, well, the Lord said that to them. That would be true for us as well. That wouldn't be a misappropriation of Scripture, would it?
No, I don't think so at all. I think that this is, in fact, I mean, you look at the context, this is what the Lord says when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you to fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you future and a hope. Well, this gives us a sense of who God is, right? It gives us a glimpse of the nature of God. But as you've correctly diagnosed, this is something that is being said to a particular people at a particular time. Well, again, it wasn't written to you, but in principle, it applies to you. The nature of God does not change. His nature is as gracious and wonderful for you as it was for a land that was lost in exile and regained through repentance.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Hank. I really appreciate that. I find myself sometimes going, wanting so much to do things the right way and to interpret the Bible the right way that I think sometimes I can catch myself wandering into extremes. And I really appreciate that. So thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I'll go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Barbara. She's listening in Greensboro, South Carolina. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I have a question. I belong to a Presbyterian Church, USA, and the minister has decided he will marry same-gender couples. And he's had several classes explaining to church members how he came to his decision on this. And one of them was that in biblical times, there was no such thing as Christians who were involved in a same-sex loving and committed relationship. And I wondered what you thought about that statement.
Well, I think it's absurd, quite frankly. I mean, what's happening here is we're redefining what marriage is. And marriage is based on many things considered together as a prism that can't be extracted one from the other. So the anthropological reality of a marriage is that what you have is a man and a woman who adds certain things to the marriage that one gender alone cannot add. So if you have two of one gender, you're missing an ingredient. And it's not only in terms of the raising of children, and the sociological metrics there simply do not lie, but it's also true with respect to biology. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that there's a difference in terms of biology and natural reproduction. Always, always, always requires the coupling of a male and a female. And in that sense, marriage protects, it reflects, and reinforces the complementarity of the reproductive parts of our human nature. And then you have the civil reality. The civil reality is that children need mothers and fathers. And I was just looking up as I was speaking a quote by Barack Obama. This was prior to succumbing to the PC thought police. He said, and I quote, "We know the statistics that children who grew up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of schools, and 20 times more likely to end up in prison. They're more likely to have behavioral problems or run away from home, become teenage parents themselves, and the foundation of our community are weaker because of it. Fathers are axiomatic to families. Marriage properly understood bonds fathers to mothers, and then fathers and mothers to children." Not only, of course, has Obama had a change of heart, but so too have religious leaders who, of course, have helped launch the first faith-based court challenge to bans on same-sex marriage. So, yeah, I think that you don't change the anthropological reality, the biological reality, or the civil reality through mere rhetoric.
Well, I heard him sit there and give scriptural references, which they had in a handout, and explain away one after another until I was just sick to my stomach.
Well, there are no scriptural references that can explain away biological differences.
Well,
and we're now saying here's the problem, the slippery slope problem. Right now, and this is not conjecture, but right now as we speak, there are those who are having children. And the gynecologist or whoever's presided, the nurse, whoever's there, the family, they can't say it's a boy or it's a girl because they don't know yet. They don't know because gender in their belief structure now is not based on biology, it's based on feeling, and we won't know whether that happens to be a girl trapped in a boy's body or vice versa. So you have this quagmire, this slippery slope once you start redefining gender and redefining marriage. Marriage has never been defined as a man and a man and a woman and a woman. That is a prostitution of how the biblical notion of marriage is conceived of. And in great part, it is conceived of to have gender-differentiated parenting, which is important for human development and for the contribution of fathers to child bearing, which is unique and irreplaceable. Same thing on the side of the mother.
Yes. Well, I tell you, I'm trying to decide whether to stay in my church and try to change some opinions or whether to just leave.
Well, and that's the ultimate question. It is whether to stay and try to transform from within or to leave. And this was, of course, the big issue when the PCA pulled out of the PCUSA. They didn't think that ultimately the PCUA was going to change, but rather was going to continue down the slippery slope, as it most certainly has.
It certainly has. It's very disappointing.
It is, and we are. We have just opened Pandora's box. In an article in Friday's edition of the Washington Post, there was the indication that Sweden this year added the gender-neutral pronoun hen to official dictionaries. The word caught on several years ago when preschool in Stockholm began using it as a substitute for boys and girls to avoid referencing gender roles in children. So, we ain't seen nothing yet.
I agree. Well, thank you for taking my question.
You're welcome. I wrote about this in an article in the Christian Research Journal. It's a special edition of the Christian Research Journal. And it contains some fantastic articles by Joe Dallas. I also wrote some articles for this special edition. And I make three points quickly as we go to break. One is that God has spoken. And as such, we must be clear with respect to what God has said. Secondly, I think it's really important for all of us to have an attitude adjustment and not participate in a we-they siege mentality. But that would be wrong as well. And thirdly, we must not yield. We must never yield our consciences to the subtle lure of political correctness. Rather, with Luther, we ought to say, my conscience is held captive to the Word of God, and to act against conscience is neither right nor safe. We'll be back in just a few moments. Again, this particular edition of the Christian Research Journal you can find on the web, thequip.org. Back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember the number to dial, as always, 888-ASK-HANK.
As homosexuality becomes accepted in the culture, more Christian families are hearing a loved one say, I'm gay, I've accepted it, and I intend to live it out. In the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, Joe Dallas offers scriptural and compassionate counsel for dealing with the many questions and strong emotions that arise from this perplexing and unexpected situation. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. The fast-growing acceptance of same-sex marriage is comparable to a massive cultural earthquake and resulting tsunami that rearranges the social landscape. It may well be the most significant social revolution in human history, but there is also a promise. If things can change this fast in one direction, they can change just as fast in another. CRI's special offer of Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles on same-sex sexuality and transgender issues from Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas will help you stand for biblical life and truth. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage book and journal special offer as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or simply visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. As homosexuality becomes accepted within the culture, more Christian families are hearing a loved one say, "I'm gay, I've accepted it, I intend to live it out." Joe Dallas offers scriptural and compassionate counsel for dealing with the many questions and strong emotions that arise from this perplexing and unexpected situation. Other topics include the gospel according to Marvel Comics, Buddhism through the filter of Sam Harris, witnessing to the messianic fulfillment of the Day of Atonement, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. New atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical, but we need people willing to stand for truth along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. A heated debate is occurring today concerning the doctrine of biblical inerrancy. At issue is the question, in order to interpret Scripture, to what extent is it appropriate to make use of information from outside of Scripture? Christians on both sides of this debate see themselves as defenders of biblical inerrancy. The latest issue of the Christian Research Journal can help you find out where you stand on inerrancy. Subscribe online today at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Matt. He's listening in Baltimore, Maryland, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Matt.
Hey. Hey, Hank. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. It's a pleasure to speak to you. I am doing a study on the book of Revelation, and when it gets to the part about the beast out of the earth, I'm just looking for some clarification there. The beast out of the sea was identified as Nero Caesar, and the dragon as Satan. But the beast out of the earth, I'm just trying to get some clarification on what exactly the beast out of the earth was.
Yeah, well, you have two things. You have a land beast and you have a sea beast, and the symbolism is pretty poignant. Israel is seen as the land beast because Israel prostituted herself with the nations. They were set apart in a land of promise, and they were to be a light to the nations and instead become the prostituted bride. The symbolism for the sea beast, I think, is equally poignant because what you have here is the sea as a symbol of Roman world power. And it is conceived of as the organ of the old serpent. And it is that serpent or the devil that is persecuted, persecuting the bride of Christ. And the sea is seen as the place in which the seven-headed monster dwells. It is the place of chaos. And so it is, again, a poignant, pregnant symbol with meaning that's actually derived from the Old Testament context. So you have a sea beast, you have a land beast, the beast ultimately a parody of the lamb. The beast can parody what the lamb can do. The beast can't do what the lamb can do. And so the beast is seeking to expunge the body of Christ along with the woman who rides the beast, again, symbolic of those who have aligned themselves with the beast in persecuting the bride of Christ. And that's what you have, in essence, in Revelation. You have a story of three brides. You have letters to a persecuted bride, you have a prostituted bride, and then in ultimate sense, a purified bride carried by the bridegroom over Jordan into a new Jerusalem. Not the Jerusalem that is below, but the Jerusalem that is above and is our mother, as Paul says in Galatians 4.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Next to Catherine, she's listening in Virginia. Virginia on the web. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you? Hi. I just had a question. I'm taking an Old Testament class, and my teacher has said that there's no way Jesus could be considered the Passover lamb because he wasn't slain at the time of all the other Passover lambs. And I know throughout the Bible it talks about how he is the Passover lamb, and John the Baptist calls him that. And I just wanted more clarification on that.
Well, I think what we have to recognize is that the Bible uses idioms or figures of speech, and one of the things that we see that is pretty poignant and pregnant with meaning is that Jesus rose on the third day, not after 3 days, and he did that to fulfill the conditions of being our Passover lamb. So he died on Passover day, which is Friday. So the fact that he fulfills the conditions of being the Passover lamb, I think, is not only completely intact, but actually highlighted in the biblical text. But even beyond that, I mean, you have all kinds of indications that it is Christ and Christ alone that could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecies. And so he does. And in the New Testament, he demonstrates himself to be without sin. He demonstrates himself to have power over the demonic realm, power over disease, even power over life and death itself. So he has the power to lay down his life and the power to take it up again, thus demonstrating that he is God. So the whole contextual picture points to one reality, and that is that Jesus is the Passover lamb who alone can take away the sins of the world.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Written about this in a book called Has God Spoken, which you can find on the web at equip.org. Bookstores everywhere. Back to the phone lines. We'll go to Dave next. He's in Fairview Heights, Illinois, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Hank. I just wanted to share something with you and give a quick prelogue. We've been part of Bible Answer Man support team for quite a while, and my son and I have called in on numerous occasions, and today we have a special occasion. He went to church camp and was praying in solitude and decided to accept to go into the ministry.
Wow.
And your teaching and so forth has led in part to that decision. He's 18-year-old boy and on fire for the Lord, and I just wanted to first thank you for that. It's really special to me.
Wow. Wow. And what's his name?
Jacob.
Jacob?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, let's pray for him.
Yeah, that's what I was calling that you would do that.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that at this very moment we can, though we are separated by so many miles, stand together in your presence. And Lord, with all of those listening in even now, we pray for Jake. We pray, Lord, that you would imbue him with a special anointing of your Spirit. Lord, that you would equip him. Father, that you would bring people and circumstances around him so that he might be raised up as a standard of faith. And Lord, as he equips himself in the matter of truth, I pray, Lord, that he might have a double portion of life. As Paul said to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, for if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, Jake may be allowed to bear abundant, abiding fruit, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Hank.
You are welcome. Thanks for the opportunity and for the encouragement.
Yeah, this is really exciting for our family. Thank you very much.
Exciting for the family of God. By the way, just a program note, so many of you calling in from all over the world, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air today. I'll continue taking your calls, so if you're hanging on, please be patient. And if you're dialing in, do remember the number to dial for the next hour as well, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically, 888-275-4265. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rick, he's listening in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Hank. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay, great. Hey, it's been driving right now, so my reception may be a little bad. I was watching a movie called Noah on Netflix recently, and it's just something that's so different from what I had read in Genesis before. And I just wanted to hear your opinion on Watchers. And actually, what it led me to do from there was just research on Google what Watchers are, and came up with the Book of Enoch, and I listened to it, and it has a lot of in-depth information about Enoch, and I just wanted to get your opinion on Enoch and Watchers.
Yeah, well, Enoch is a muddy mixture of truth and error. And so the Watchers, as you say, come from the Book of Enoch. This is an ancient Jewish pseudepigraphal text. It was written during the intertestamental period and, of course, quoted in the New Testament. So it contains truth that was accessible and agreed on by all, and therefore Jude, for example, finds the Book of Enoch as a useful quotation. But in terms of the Watchers and the pseudepigraphal nature of this Jewish text, it doesn't correspond or cohere with the biblical text, and that's why it is not part and parcel of the Old Testament canon. It is providing information that is not consistent with the biblical text and doesn't cohere well with the story of Noah.
Okay. They also mentioned some names of some angels, like Gabriel, Michael, and they also mentioned some other angels who left heaven and went down to earth to mate with the daughters of men. And I just wanted to know, are these real angels?
Well, this again is this is an imposition of mythology upon the scriptures. In the Christian text. There is no such thing as angelic beings interconnecting, mating with human beings. Kinds reproduce after their own kinds. But even beyond that, demons are asexual or non-sexual, non-physical beings, and therefore they don't have the wherewithal to mate with women. So again, I think it's an interjection of pagan mythology on the biblical text.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You got it. Hey, I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. For those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, all of this accessible on the web at equip.org. A quick reminder that we are coming towards the end of our fiscal year, a very, very important month, a month in which we're asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially in the battle for life and truth. When you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries with your ongoing support. Again, it's as easy to join as going to equip.org/donate on the web at equip.org. Again, a reminder, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. So if you are hanging on, we'll get to your call. If you're dialing in, we'll probably get to your call as well. You can start dialing right now, 888-ASK-HANK. I'll be right here for the next hour answering your calls. Again, you can dial 888-ASK-HANK numerically. It's 888-275-4265. And a quick mention of the journal as we sign off today, a subscription magazine you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also find the newsletter free of charge. You can enroll. All of that, once again, on the web at equip.org. I'll be right back in just a few moments as we continue off air with your calls, 888-ASK-HANK.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? Can I attend a same-sex wedding? Can my business provide services for a same-sex union ceremony? What if a person in a gay marriage becomes a Christian? If you haven't encountered these questions yet, stay tuned. Given the current reality shift, you're likely to. Get well-reasoned answers to these and other questions in CRI's Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package, which includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet,
and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive the same-sex marriage resource package as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.